It's Sunday morning, August 21st. Lord, we ask that you come today and pour out your Spirit, Lord God, and reveal truth in your word to us that will strengthen us and keep us in the path to an open heart and a path to your truth. Lord, we just love and appreciate you for all that you're doing and all that your grace has been expended upon us, Lord God. We just ask that you continue to have your hand upon our gathering. Lord, we ask that you would bless in our service this morning and that you would visit us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. There's a scripture that has been on my mind for this last week, and it's Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is a house that you would build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things as my mind, as mine handmaid, in all things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. To this man will I look." And then since the word in here is one that is poor and of a contrite spirit, I thought of Isaiah, or of Matthew chapter 5. And where the Beatitudes, or I think that's what they call them. But in verse 1 it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then they get the gist kind of what he was saying here. The rest of the verses are something that I think we need to keep steadfast in our mind. I don't know exactly how to say it, but when we wonder what God is looking for, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And I don't know that we need to read any more than what I just read, but what it does, it gives us a picture of the heart of God and what God is looking for in us. He's looking for us to tremble at his word, to be poor in spirit, to not be I don't know what the word is, but not be obnoxious, maybe. That would be a good word. And that's not really the word I want either, but he's looking for something in our personality. And it's like you know, blessed are they that mourn. Well, that doesn't really make sense, but I mean, you don't want to mourn, but it's like if the pressure is on you, or if it's difficult, I mean, you do. And I thought, you know, it kind of gives us a picture of the heart of God and what he's looking for. And especially in Isaiah, where it says, and they tremble at his word. Well, there's an awful lot of Bible readers that don't tremble at his word. They just kind of take it in stride, and in a lot of cases, it has no meaning. But God wants the word to become so vital, and so valuable, and so much a part of our life that we believe it. And when you believe God's word, you tremble at it. And I thank God that that's what has happened to just about everybody here. I listened to it. I did last night again. I listened all night to it. And when I wake up, I hear it. And I usually hear some spot that makes me tremble. And there's a lot of places in it. And it's a and I think, how did I ever live without being in this place? Because this is what God wants. Anyway.
I think that's something. You know, talking about trembling of God's word. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Confess your sins to one another. Blah, 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 blah. Well, if I confess my sins, then you know my sins. Mm-hmm. So how about not? How about I keep it to myself? Anyways, I've had this area in my personal that I haven't dealt with in a long time since it happened, and but only the last 6 weeks or 8 weeks he popped up, and God said, he did say, he said, we're going to deal with it. I'm like, no, this is not God who I'm listening to. This is the devil. No way, it's God. Because, you know, that's what's around it. I can work around it. And then I pray about something that say whatever. And there it is, this thing. The devil. It's not letting me pray. You know what I mean? And God said, so I mean, he did say, so do you trust me? Yeah, I trust you. I'm through with it. No, but this is the devil, for sure. I mean, there's no way, you know what I mean? Dealing with it will be too much trouble. And it will be chaos. You know what I mean? If I deal with it. And it's got to be the devil that wants me to deal with it. It's not God. There I go again, you know, trying to pray. Mm-hmm. I'm praying about what, no matter what I'm praying for, goes through my eyes, starting to ask and existing. Are you dealing with it? Are you dealing with it? Are you dealing with it? And I go to the devil again. Right? Well, wrong, Pablo. Wrong. God. I mean, how many places does it say in the Bible, trust in the Lord with all your heart? Or something similar. Trust in the Lord. I'm going to throw this out there. It's going to be, I don't know, 150 times, whatever, I don't know. A lot of times. A lot of times. But I trust in the Lord, that's why I'm going to pray about it, about myself. And I want to have God take care of it. And there it is. I close my eyes and I pray. So my prayers were not, I couldn't even concentrate in my prayers. No, they were being tormented. So I dealt with it. I dealt with it. You know, I had to tell something to Candy, and for whatever it's worth, I know I was having an affair, or whatever. Anybody that's trying to get to her, I'll tell you right now. You're not Susan.
I was drinking.
Anyways, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to tell Candy. And this is going to be chaos. It's going to be terrible. You know what I mean? It's going to be horrible, but I just got to deal with it. I had to. So I did deal with it. You know, I told Candy. I was shaking. But I had to. And, you know, it just went very smoothly. It went 1,000 times better than expected, you know. The thing is that when you, and you know, I don't know if I did it because I knew I had to. Because you see, the scriptures, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed, blah, 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 blah. And I was trying to find other scriptures that don't say anything.
As we would lay for hours and pray.
Yeah. Just pray about it and close my eyes. And there it is. Boom, 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 boom.
Pray for one another.
Yeah, so confess your sins, that, you know what I mean, and then pray for another that you may be healed. Yeah. And anyways, so I confess my sins to my wife, which is, you know, who matters the most in my life. And God, I mean, He took care of it. He took care of it. It didn't look like to me that He would take care of it, because it was so hard. It was like the eye going through the tunnel going through the eye. It was just hard. It was impossible. I was ready to throw it around because I just couldn't deal with it. But I dealt with it. I told Candy, and God took care of it. Now I can close my eyes. I can pray about whatever. Nothing is not there anymore. And actually, I believe I'm trying to examine myself. Is there anything else? There's nothing else. I am so free. I am so free.
How is your pain?
It's there. My pain is there. My right side is there. This is horrible. I mean, this is bad.
But your spirit's free.
My spirit is free. And I'm peace. And ever since my first symptoms of stroke, I had my eye stroke or whatever. That made me do something that saved my soul. I had to forgive someone, and then to, I mean, if I, I would have gone to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so many other things have happened to me. If I wouldn't have had this stroke, I wouldn't be dealing with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I dealt with it. I'm free. It's even though it was a matter for years, over 20 years, it didn't come to life, not life, but to remembrance until only the last, you know, 6 to 8 weeks or whatever.
Because it was from way back then. It wasn't all along.
Huh?
I mean, it was for so long ago that you must not have.
Anyways, and I, you know, and even though God says, trust me, trust in the Lord, but he's, by this, I feel like he's also showing that I can't trust him,
mm-hmm.
even though it seems impossible, and it seems so hard. It seems so hard to trust him. But he is trustworthy. If he says you can trust him, then he's saying the truth. When he's saying everything that he said is true. Anyways, so I want to praise the Lord for that. I am so thankful that I'm so thankful.
Glory.
Yeah. He kept his promise.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a testimony. We were at our grandson's wedding yesterday in Rochester. And I was looking forward to it, and yet I was not looking forward to it. Because of family dynamics, there are things in the families, as everybody knows, that are difficult. And there were grandchildren there that we have not seen for ages, and we've known of things that have not made us happy and have grieved our soul. But the Lord, Lord did a work. My oldest grandson, it's been very difficult, but I prayed for him because of things, his involvement in different things, drugs and stuff, and it's grieved my soul. And I didn't know how much until I saw him, and he came up to me and gave me a hug, and my heart. My whole heart, it felt like, just went out to him. And I didn't think that would ever happen in my lifetime. He was so affected by it, he could not face me. He had to leave. It affected him so much. Well, so we get through the wedding, and I was told that he wanted another hug before we left, so I went up and hugged him again. And the same thing happened. This time he had to run away and cry because he didn't want us to see him cry. And that tells me the Lord is working on him.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
But in the same token, the Lord did a work in me. This morning I realized what the work was. And it's how hard it is to love the unlovable. But yet God will be there. And we have to love those. We need to love those more than the easy to love.
Yes.
So I have other grandchildren also that I need to start praying for harder, because I know their salvation is at stake. And I'm thankful, but also nervous. It's hard, but I will do it, I promise. with God's help. But he did do a work, and I'm standing on that. I'm standing on that, that he will bring, even if I don't see it in my lifetime, he will bring those children to him. He will do whatever is possible. So it was hard, but it was good. And I praise the Lord for it.
Mm. Amen.
It's easy to love those that love us back.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And that's like our reasonable service. The harder is to love those that don't love us or have aught against us or say things about us or think something, true or not. It's harder to do that, but that's required of us so that we can be free and continue to love despite.
That's when he does his best work.
Correct. Right. Right. Yes. In many times in my life, I've had to feel love or forgiveness towards many different people for many different things. And I have to keep going and let go and give it to the Lord. And family, too.
Yes.
Family, friends, church friends, old church friends, new church friends, the neighbor, the person at Walmart. No, I don't know. You know, anybody. You have to love despite. Because then if you get, I didn't point fingers. No. But it's a thing that, it's a freeing thing.
It is.
And God, I mean, like, you know, like you said, it's easy for me to love my husband. Because he'll love me back, blah, blah, blah. But to love somebody
that's lovable.
Yes. Yes. Or, you know, maybe just doesn't.
But there's the homeless out there. There's people that I find sometimes hard to love, you know, because of my judgment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord showed me those are the ones I'm going to have to start loving. Mm-hmm. It's required, like you said.
Right, right.
I'm required to love all.
Right.
Hard.
Because there's really no blessing or satisfaction or reward to, I give Susan 20, she gives me 20. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder to go past that. It's a lot harder. It just takes more faith and trust, for sure.
I just thought it was a real blessing that he wanted another rug.
Yes, it was.
Because it seemed like it was, in a sense, a little bit uncomfortable on both of you to begin with. And yet there was a breaking, and then for him to say, I want one more hug before she leaves, even though he's in the place where he is, it's sort of like, I'm like, he's coming back!
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, it is. And there is something about forgiveness, and Kirk and I were talking about this past weekend. And I'm like, okay, you know, I know we have to forgive. And I'm going, okay, I forgive. And he's going, I don't think that's exactly it. I'm like, well, boy, it's wrong. I said I forgive. He goes, we need to work on it a little. So there is a little bit of how you present yourself in forgiving people. You know,
yes.
Art. Yeah. I thought it was fine.
One more.
You know, Bob's testimony reminded me, if we were to go around and say, just ask one another, is there anything God can't do? We all go, no, there's nothing God can't do. Yet when we internalize that, you go, I've got this, and I'm afraid to bring it to the Father because this is just too much. This is just too big. There is no way.
Must be the devil.
There's no way. And then we, only the devil would tell me that. And so all I wanted to share was that it gets harder when you have to admit to yourself that this is what you need. And even harder when God is requesting it of you because he's trying to purify you.
Mm-hmm.
And you get past this, then God can do more because your heart is more open. And it's easy for me to have faith that God can fix that problem in somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I get a little less strong in my faith that God's going to fix a problem that I might be carrying around. And it is the enemy in one hand saying, well, I don't think, you know, God's grace will go this far, but it's not going to go that far. And that is the enemy, because God's grace will go everywhere. But it's just, you know, and we just have to remind ourselves that there's nothing you can't do, even when we're thinking about ourselves. You know, I've got this, I don't know how I can get past this, you go, well, flip around, so that's too big for God. And then you realize, well, no, nothing's too big for God. And then let God be God. And you be you seeking God.
Were you going to say something? While Paula was dealing with this, I didn't know, and it made me feel bad later that he was felt this thing, this burden, to tell me, because it didn't feel as heavy of a burden to me as it felt apparently to him, I guess. But there was. I have, since May 2nd, I have spent so much time praying with him. Like, just stop and pray for hours. And weeks ago, before his mom came, there was, way back months ago, I asked his forgiveness for something. And I don't know, 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, I don't know, before his mom came, he was in the living room with just this pain. And I was in the shower, and all of a sudden the Lord pressed upon me something that I needed to tell him. Something that he had asked me a long time ago. And I said, no, okay. So it's something I needed to tell him, and I needed to ask his forgiveness. And it came to me in the shower, and I was like, no. Devil, you're not. And then it was like the Lord pressed upon me, you want that face healing, you're kind of holding the key to that, you know. I'm like, yeah, but I pray. So he was just miserable in the living room, and I avoided it all day long, and I vacuumed and I prayed and whatever. So then finally it was like, if I didn't say it, I was gonna erupt. So I went right over to him and I got on my knees and I said, baby, this thing that you thought about me way back when, I have to tell you, yes, it's true. And he was so miserable. I'm like, oh, and it was a three part situation, whatever. So I said the two, and they were the same thing, whatever. So I'm like, oh, and I felt so free. I got up and I'm like, that's your healing. Hallelujah, that's your healing. And I expected him to just get up and walk around and amen. Well, he didn't. And okay. So it took a couple of days, and then he was back down with the pain and whatever. And I was praying with him. And then I just got that little tiny, still small voice that was like, well, you didn't confess the total of the three. There's just that, and I'm like, well, not that one thing. He might feel bad. Maybe he'll have another stroke. Maybe, right, you know, and I, sorry, I forgot that was me. So I was like, no. So every time I would pray with him, then that thing would, and it was like, he would lay there, and he'd be like, baby, why do I still have this thing? And I'm like, I don't know. And then I would just pray, and then that thing would hit me. Just say that last thing. And I thought, no, that's for me and the Lord. No. And I dealt with this. Well, then his mom came. And it was like, we had a good 3 weeks. I could pray, and I didn't think about it, and I thought, hallelujah, because I kept saying, no, devil, that's you, that's not God. God wouldn't require that of right now, because he would be sad, and no. So last Saturday, then, he was taken down in the afternoon, laid in bed all day, and I prayed with him, you know, and he's like, why do I have this one thing? Well, meanwhile, he was dealing with something he needed to, felt like he needed to tell me. From a long time ago, and I mean, okay, but big, kind of really before he was really here, but it was just, he was like, baby, what? And I just looked at him, and I'm like, I don't know. And then just like that, it was like, yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, devil. So I went out, I was in the living room, and I was walking around the birdcage, and I was praying and praying, and I lifted up my curtain thing or whatever, and I was like, Just let the last thing go. And I'm like, no, Lord, it's between you and me. Just let. And I battled that thing, and it was like, okay, devil, stop talking to me. And it's not you, Lord. I know it's not you. And Lord, you know what? If you're gonna let my husband have face pain for the rest of his life, because I won't let that one last literal detail of my existence to my husband, if you're gonna make him have face pain because of that, Lord. Well, you're not really a good father then, because you need to, you know? And it was like, okay, it's the devil. Okay. And I, Lord, if it's you, you're going to have to give me a sign. Because I think this is the devil, because this will, that one little detail will hurt him. So it obviously is the devil. And I battled. So then he laid back down and whatever, and I went in and I was praying with him. And while I was praying with him, that thing was there. That thing was there. But all of a sudden, I got this gigantic, deep breath of peace. I thought, I've left it. Okay. I get to keep it. I felt so peaceful. I didn't have to do it. It's not going to hurt him. I'm done. It was like the final straw of everything my husband knows about me. And I thought, no. And so then we had a Sunday. Last Sunday was amazing. We went down and walked through Phoenix Park after church. We prayed with a guy that was limping. Pablo was like, can we pray with you? Pablo asked my brother. Great time. Then he in turn prayed for Pablo. Walked all through Phoenix Park and the bridges and whatever. And then Monday and then Tuesday and then Wednesday, the face pain hit. In the morning. It's never happened in the morning. He woke up. It was just there. He was in bed till 2:30. And then he was like, why do I have this thing? Well, he was battling his own thing. And I'm like, I don't know. And again, as soon as I said that, I was there. I was like, mm-mm, nope. Meanwhile, later that day, Felicity made the volleyball team. We had been praying about that, and so we were both emotional about that, whatever. And then all of a sudden, Pablo says, you know, remember when you kind of, not confessed, but confessed that thing, why did you do that? So strong. It's because I felt it in the shower. And he's like, well, and all of a sudden I'm like, darn, I said, Lord, I need a sign if it's you. Well, he was literally asking me about that situation. And so then he wanted to share something, the thing that had been bugging him. And then all of a sudden that last thing came flooding out of me. And it was like, I let it go. And I was vulnerable. I let it go. And it was like that one last thing. So now we've been talking the rest of the week. It's like, will the... I bet we both were like, no, it's the devil. You know, the devil won't ever ask you to do something that's for your benefit. The devil will never require something from you that will cleanse you. The devil will never do something. If you are wondering, is this the Lord prompting me to pray for that crippled person? Or that, you know what I mean? Yes! If you feel, and the Bible says, you know, if you go and ask anything of the Lord, and you have aught against your brother is anybody, you must first go. And it was like, I told him, I says, I know that the Lord wants to use us. We're one flesh. The Lord wants to use us together. You know, he's been telling me for months, baby, he says, I want to minister, and he goes, but this isn't the Pablo show. He says, you're with me. You know, we're going to minister in different ways to different people. I'm the prayer. Oh, I love to pray. You know, And he said, we're in whatever. And I told him, I said, yes. So we can't sit and pray for Charlotte's deep healing when we took in between us had something that we, one last release that had, so that our prayers are effectual and fervent and righteous. And so the last few days, he's had pain. Yep, it's come, go. But he says, I feel so peaceful. I know the Lord's going to heal me. And so the pain is still there, but it's literally like the peeling of the onion right down to the core. And we both, now when I pray for him, I'm like, you know what? My prayers are not being hindered because I'm free. So the Lord still has some more work or whatever. But let me tell you, if you feel a little prompting and it's to benefit, to help, to heal, to strengthen, it's the Lord. You feel to give somebody $5, give them $5. You want, you know what I mean? Whatever it is that's happy, joyful, pure, peaceful, long-suffering, all of them, do it. It's not, you should never question that it's the Lord. So it was a weird thing that we were both experiencing the same thing. So there's still pain and there's still discomfort, but we know that the Lord, to much is given, much is required. And Pablo has said he wants to live the rest of his days ministering and sold out. And Pablo is going to get a license to be ordained so that he can go minister in the jails, he can minister in the hospitals, he can, whatever he would do that would be required in the state of Wisconsin, so that he can minister. So there's no holdbacks. Because I don't know, maybe he'll end up in Africa or maybe he'll end up in Chippewa County Jail praying. But he feels so strong to just minister, and apparently the Lord is requiring both of us to be as open and vulnerable before the Lord that we can be without any last flipping detail.
We haven't arrived to this guy preaching, and he's preaching about a certain area, and I would have heard it a week ago, I would have turned it off, you know.
He was saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and when you pray, you know, when you come to the Lord asking anything, if you have a thing, and he said, you know, people's prayers aren't answered, because there's a thing, you got to deal with the thing, and he says, even if it's just one thing, it's blocking your prayer. And we were listening to it yesterday on the drive, and Paul and I were both looking at each other like, literally, if we would have heard this week ago, we would have been like, in both of our minds, the different things would have been like, but not that one thing. You know? But I'm telling you, when you want to sell yourself out to the Lord, you better expect also the devil. But God knows. But the devil will come. And a praise report, last night we were almost T-boned at the end of the road. Mm-hmm. Just how my brother Brian died is how we would have suffered. We went to the end of the road. We were on our way to a call. No, it wasn't. We were on our way to a church group, and we went to the end of the road, and I took a right, you know, to go past your house, whatever, and two cars were coming, and some guy decided to go in the other lane and go as fast as he could to quick try and pass this guy. Well, there's the intersection, and I just pulled up and looked, and I didn't see anything. And right as I turned this way, the guy decided to quick go around this guy, and we would have been T-boned and into that big pole right there. I'm not sure. They were both turning down our road, but he thought he could go faster than him. So when I turned, all of a sudden it dawned on me, there's two cars coming right at me, and I had to brake and swerve off and honk my horn very loud. Mm-hmm. But it was a very, very close thing. So, although the devil tried to stop what we were doing, he didn't. So, that was a thank you, Jesus, for today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
good.
And you know what? Sometimes he requires a lot. And requiring a lot sometimes means bearing everything to someone, even when it's the stuff that you want to share with them. You know, I've experienced similar things, you know, since coming to the Lord. Luckily, I was primed for that because the legal system put, I was in some situations where I had to bear it all in front of the judge, you know, a couple times in some bad places, so it's a, you know what, and it humbles you. It makes you a more honest person, I think. And honesty and humbleness is great characteristics to have in a person. Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. It's just a, sometimes a hard way to get there.
Something that's been kind of hitting me a little lately, and I was in, and I wanted to go again to chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, but I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, and you know, none of us are going to get totally where we need to go unless all this happens in the body, because One part of the body can't just go off and do everything and be separate from the body. You're never going to be as effective as if you're part of the body. And that's a hard thing to define, because we haven't truly seen the true body of Christ yet, probably, because we're not manifesting all the gifts that he wants to give us to be the body. And I mean, there's... Because now all of a sudden I started thinking, yeah, you know, it's not always the person that's out there doing everything. It's this quiet little one sitting over here who maybe is praying their heart out at night or whatever, and just, you know, things that we don't see right away that are as effective with the Lord as anything, anybody else, you know. It's so I'm going to read these gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So it's not just for your benefit, it's for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. See, and I've been praying that a lot lately. You know, I haven't probably received it, but I'm still praying it. To have wisdom and knowledge in Pablo's case, in other people that are, you know, that are being affected. To get some discernment from the Lord, you know, to know what to pray maybe or how to pray. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. See, all this is saying that everything isn't done by one person.
Mm-hmm.
These are being manifested differently in different people, you know, for the benefit of all. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different types of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. So by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So, I've been thinking about the body aspect for quite a while, because, it wouldn't be in there if it wasn't important. And the body of Christ, I mean, that's everything, you know? And if we're not, I haven't been asking for all those things for years, you know? But recently, in the last year or two, it just keeps being in the back of my mind, and it's like, you know, and later on it says, those that are less desirable should have more honor, parts of the body. So there's parts of the body that maybe never get any recognition outwardly among people, but God honors that above all the others. It might even be, he honors that more than the evangelist or the guy that's praying for healing and getting miracles done. There's parts of the body that aren't showing any of that are just as important to God as all that stuff. Because we don't know what he's doing with those people that's added to all the other ministry, you know, that's going on. So I just thought, be nice to have everyone think on that a little bit, you know, and keep that in mind. Yeah.
Be encouraged. Be encouraged. You don't know how God can use you, but you can know that God can use you.
Right. And, you know, he may use you for one gift only. He may use you for five gifts, you know, or 10 gifts. But all of them will be used according to God's will if they're done right, you know. And so it's really important to have all of it. I mean, I'm looking forward to the day when that is all operating in the body. Because I think it will be a glorious time, mm-hmm. you know. It'll be all parts are working together for one, which is always the ultimate, to be one, it says, in one mind, one everything in the body of Christ. So I try to keep that in mind more now often instead of always thinking about me, mm-hmm. you know, and it helps, keeps me more open. I want to be less judgmental, you know. So, things are going to happen here in the days to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting at the end of that chapter, chapter 12, when I'm in the New International Version, I mean, starting in 27, it just says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? These are all questions. The last one, the very verse 31 says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. I mean, so he's asking us, you know, and I have a feeling, he's putting it in there and he's saying, you have to want these gifts. You have to ask for these gifts. I'm not just going to sit around with that. A deck of cards and go, okay, whichever card flies towards you, okay, that's the gift you're going to have. God's asking us to seek and ask for these gifts. And I've really had that in my heart for a long time, that is, he doesn't want us to just sit there and go, okay, Lord, well, whatever you possibly have left, maybe that, you know, you think maybe I could possibly maybe-ish do. You know, it's not that. It's like, Lord, I want, you know, and then as you pray and you speak from your heart, you're going to get that. But I'm saying we need to come with a boldness asking.
Mm-hmm. So, amen.
Hmm. I'm going to share something that I shared the other night at a meeting. So that, and a lot of you were there, of course, so, as an elder, I've always felt like, because of you,
whoever at the time, you know, voted or whatever, that I would become one. And I read that part about what an elder is, and it says, you know, that you're a servant, don't put yourself above people, and be an example. And so a lot of times I know it didn't bother me to share. I have weak points, I have, you know, whatever, to share them because it could help somebody else, you know. And just because you're in an eldership or something doesn't mean you're above anything. So, but one of the things that I'm going to share with you that I feel is because I care about this body at this time, because it's my immediate body, and that is I am not one bit ashamed of who we are, of what size we are, what condition this building's in. None of that means anything to me as far as what's going on. And so, but what does mean the most is that the truth of God has become very important to us, obviously. We want to have a love for the truth. And so, the love of the truth and the Word of God that we love is what's above anything else. And so, it's like, and we're not the people we were 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. We're changed. We're different than anything else that's ever happened in this church. Even though the numbers are small. And, but see, the numbers are small, but we are about as close, well, no. We're in the process of being of one mind, where we've never been before. And people can go, they can be at home during the week, we don't talk that much, they come and we share something we saw in the scriptures, and you can tell right away if it was from God, because the Holy Spirit will confirm it. And like, maybe all of them, or most of the other people. And so you know that God's working, you know, to keep you unified in a certain vein, or in the truth. So, see, you can have 10 people with the truth, or you could have 300 people with not the truth. So what's more important? You know? Doesn't mean that they're not going to get truth. I'm just saying, at the time, you could have that happening. And some of them will never accept truth. So where are they? You know, it's like, numbers don't mean anything in that regard. Truth is what means, because that's what God's word is. It's truth. And so, and I'll say that, you know, sitting in that meeting, right at first I got a little intimidated, kind of by the size of ministry that was going on and everything. And then I thought, well, that's what's going on there. And then all of a sudden the Spirit come over me, and it's like, yes, but I'm not ashamed of where I'm at. I'm not ashamed of where this church is at, you know. I've had more work done in me in the last 10 years, 5 years, and not by man. Not by man. Man never could have did what's been done. You know, it was the Holy Spirit. It was the Word of God. Him, you know, like bringing conviction in the sweetest way to get changes, and just opening up His Word so that I've gotten to know God more than I ever have before. His personality, all His traits, they've shown more and more. You know, it's not done or anything, but so I just, as myself as an elder of this church, that's where I stand right now, so that I think all of you should know that, you know. And, I love you. I love my brothers and sisters. Well, other brothers and sisters, that's not the point. And the whole point is the body of Christ, I know, is a lot more. I mean, it's going to be millions of other people out there. But believe it or not, with God, that real body of Christ will be connected and be of one mind and one spirit. Because God says so. He wouldn't say He would provide these things if He didn't want that. You know, so that's what's to look forward to, you know, and I think it's
Amen. I love your heart, Ken.
And you know, I mentioned this thing. My heart is open to whatever's going to happen, you know, with people meeting here or whatever, you know. I want to be open, you know. And some of you may not understand this, but quite a few of us, we are, you know, we're sensitive to what goes on in the sanctuary. And it isn't just a building. But the Holy Spirit has been here a lot of times, many times. And so it was a little, you know, to have, because we've let people use other parts of the building and whatever, and that's fine. But nobody's really ever come in and used the sanctuary. And so, you know, there was a little concern, but we feel like it's worth the trial and to find out what's going to happen.
Didn't Sue's group meet down here?
Huh?
Didn't Sue's group meet down here?
Sue Paulson's group.
Yeah.
Well, that's prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Right.
Yeah. It, right. That was a prayer. I'm just talking about
so
ministry.
What is going to happen?
Well, somebody's going to use the church once a month, mm-hmm. the sanctuary.
September 25th at 6:30 p.m.
Yeah. So anyway.
And so everybody's invited if they want to come.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Julie Morrow and everybody. I saw them at the.
I encourage it too.
And the women's prayer group is going out.
Yeah, I heard it.
Back over Diane Rippert wants it back.
You know, I have to. Ken, you can appreciate, in the same realm of spirit, but, you know, being the pastor's daughter, obviously, I am one of the most sensitive. If you all leave, you all leave. But I've got the longest, you know, me and my dad, our butts have been in this building longer than anybody else here. So, at this point, I've always carried this, well, you know, like Pablo. He's been here 25 years, but he didn't go through all that good, but he also didn't go through all that bad. So what could he possibly know that? And so I've carried this. I am Keith and Joanne Dunn's daughter. Nobody's actually been through the war like I've been through the war. Nobody's suffered the hurts and the church splits and all the BS and all the, like me. So I've got this thing. But it reminds me of when I was younger, my mom, at some point when I was older, I don't know, 17, 18, my sister, my mom would tell me when I was young, you know, 15, 16, she would say, well, Shelly never smoked and drank to know that it was bad, you know, like, to try and, you know. And I was like, well, you know, so I lived with this thing. Mm-hmm. And then my mom one time, or a few times, said, you know, Candy, Shelly never had to jump in the dumpster to know that there it was garbage. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, you know, I think it was one trip. I don't know. Maybe I had already had the girl. But I remember kind of saying facetiously, but whatever. And I was like, well, you know what? Shelly never had as much fun either. You know, but in that same regard, my sister never did the things that I did. And she still carried on through her life, never had to do, you know what I mean? And in the end, when we get to heaven, God is not going to bless me or bless Shelly or unbless me or unbless Shelly that we did different courses as the gun girls. I had a whole different life experience than she did, you know? So she can say, yeah, my parents are Keith and Joanne, and I can say it, but we did not live the same life at all. And so I'm thankful. I am thankful. But if I find someone, you know, like Pablo, for years it was he would say, well, the scripture, whatever, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, but I memorized everything. I sat here for chapel. I went to Christian school. I did it all since I was born.
You know what, though? There is not one person in my life that has been more God's word nonstop in my ear of making that Bible alive for all these years than Pablo. He just has to quote a scripture. And of course I know that scripture. But then as I listen to scripture, I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't realize that it's just a scripture. It's not his version of the scripture, it's not his thing about the scripture, and then 90 other things. It's just a scripture, and it will just drop me to my knees of he just literally makes the Bible alive. It doesn't make him perfect. He's just literally telling me the scripture that I don't need man's interpretation. I just need that scripture. And so in that, I have found a freedom in the last few years. But I'll tell you, especially since his stroke. I will judge no one. Because there can be 300 people sitting in the service, and five of them have the same heart as me, or have been through what I've been through. They love the Lord as much as me. But they're in that service, partaking of whatever's happening, whatever. But I have just been, it's like, people are suffering like me. People suffer like us. People are paying at the ER with paper. People are suffering every day, and they are the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I look at him and me, and I think of the things that we've gone through since we've been born or we've met. Thankfully, we had the Lord. Mm-hmm. And there's people like us. So I don't want to, the Bible says to work out your own salvation. When I was growing up, I knew that first of all in heaven, there would be community chapels. All the community chapel would be there. I didn't know how many Catholics were going to just squeeze by. I didn't know how many Baptists might sing their way in. But I knew for sure that all of community chapel was going to be in heaven because we were community chapel. And then as the years go by, it's like, work out your own salvation. Because I know I won't know heaven like how I sit and think, you know, whatever. But if I was in heaven and could look around, I'm going to be like, where? So just so you know, I am planning to go to heaven. But where is so-and-so? And then I'm going to go, oh, wait. They made it? You know what I mean? So at this very point, I'm just telling you, I am proclaiming before the Lord that I want to worship. When my praises go, if we are all singing, or I'm singing with the crowd at the park, or I'm singing with the crowd in another church, or I'm singing whatever, the praises that the Lord will take in, he's taking in, and it is not my job, not my responsibility. I don't care where their heart and mind is, because I know where my heart and mind have been. You know what I mean? And so I want to be open. I want to be open with no judgment. Who am I? Who am I to sit and do this? Who am I? And so I'm excited for what the Lord is going to do, and I don't know what that looks like. I have no idea. But I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do and the uniting. And as soon as I make myself that I am not any better just because my church was in 88 newspapers 1,000 times, I'm not any better than anybody else. And I have had the freedom in the last couple of months. The Lord has literally taken me to naked before him, flat on the floor. I'm done being, first of all, I'm done with the coat, I don't want to say the armor, but I'm done with this armor of candy gum. Whatever that means to anybody, and whatever, I'm done with that. And I'm done carrying I'm done. I am naked, and I am humble before the Lord, and I want to be only a servant. And if I need to give, if I need to pray, if I need to admit my flaws, my faults, I'm done. And I don't want to pass any more judgment, because I don't want to go before the Lord one day and then he say, well, but. So I'm just telling you, I don't know what the Lord is going to do, but I had a dream years ago about the church, and I'm hanging on to it, and the church burnt down. and overnight while they were doing the inspections and blah, 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 the next day we all came back to see the damage, and the church was rebuilt. There was people in it that had left. There was some of my relatives. My dad was in a wheelchair still, and I just remember looking around going, how did all this happen? And there was just people popping out in the church. It was just, it wasn't fancy gold. It was just rebuilt from a fire. And I just know I've had too many dreams. I don't know, but I don't want to treat this church like a china cabinet. And I'm just going to let that sink in. Because we don't want it to be a china cabinet. And we don't know who we fellowship with. We've all been sitting here taking in the scriptures. And I told Pablo a couple years ago, I told him, I said, you know what? I'm really thankful for your relationship with the men group and you guys gather and blah, blah, blah. But you're all just stuff in your cup full of what the Lord has given you. Now give it up. And I told him, I said, it's great that you meet with Ken Betcher. Mm-hmm. But you guys are just like tossing them all back and forth. You know what I mean? Now let it go. You know, how great it is that Ken has a scripture and Pablo has the same scripture and then he has a scripture. And then but I told him, the Lord has take that and encourage one another, but now go give it out. And I think that God is requiring all of us. We've all been through the war. We've all been through the thing. But that doesn't think of the worker in the field.
I'm going to throw something in.
Worker in the field.
You just came the other night when we were meeting. If you go through the New Testament and look at every book, the greater percentage of every book is speaking to the church. Yes, you have to have new people. God wants to win hearts, but God will send the people he wants to save to whoever will. But it's very important that the church becomes the true church. And most of all, that stuff is addressed to believers. Because they were so concerned that they were going to get deluded and have deceivers come in and everything else. That's why it's in there for us to see. So, no, it's not to be exclusive, but I'm going to protect what the Father gives of truth. And I don't want it being deluded, you know, or whatever. So there's a fine line to walk there. But that's why maybe there's an eldership, because it says be overseers but don't be lords. And so if he puts people there, some of it is because he's going to give them discernment to deal with things. You know, look at, if you read John, how concerned 1, 2, and 3 was he with false apostles? I mean, that's, he dwells on it. And if people don't confess certain doctrine, you need to be aware. If they don't confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and is a man, in one part of John, I read it the other night, it says, don't allow them in your house, don't have anything to do with them. Now, some are ignorant, so that you can't, you know, but once they have presented the truth, if they just don't want to accept it and whatever, and then people will say, well, how do you know it's true? Well, we've come to learn that the Holy Spirit knows what truth is, and he reveals it. And all you can say is, we don't know why he reveals it to some of us and others, but he will reveal it to whoever wants it. Truth, he will reveal it. So, you know, there's still, there's like, I don't know how to say it. God has put things in the Bible and set up certain hierarchy and whatever to protect his people, to protect his word, you know. So, but at the same time, yes, it's open to anybody, you know. It's open to anybody.